Welcome to the Black Country Talking News, brought to you by Sight Loss Charity, Beacon Centre, for the sight loss community. Unfortunately, due to the unprecedented impact of COVID-19 and updated government guidance, Talking News currently cannot be distributed in CD format. The health and safety of our staff, volunteers and listeners is our main priority, and therefore we have taken the difficult decision not to distribute CDs to our loyal listeners until further notice and safe to do so. We are sorry for any inconvenience caused during this time. We are pleased to inform you that the Talking News service is continuing as an online podcast. This will be available via our website each week. The direct link can be found on our social media pages. You can also stream our Talking News service on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, the British Wireless for the Blind application, and on the podcast section of the Black Country Radio website. Simply search for Beacon Black Country Talking News and subscribe to the podcast. Whilst the coronavirus pandemic continues, we will not be reporting on any community or sporting events due to cancellations and postponements. Thank you for bearing with us at this challenging time.
Hello. This week's edition of the Black Country Talking News is for the 13th of May 2020 with me, Pete, Christine, Simon, Mina, Ian, Helen, two Steves, Roger and Angela. Now this week we have a roundup of local news. We've got our weekly quiz for you, our regular Black Country History slot, our weekly Talking Book Review and Sight Loss News, where this week we have two poems about living with sight loss sent in from listeners. We've got our flashback section where we look back at events from this week in history. Plus, we'll go back 60 years to when Wolves last won the FA Cup. We've got the weather for the weekend and next week. And we'll finish with a roundup and an update from Beacon. So let's start off with some local news now with Christine and Ian. But first, here's Angela.
A sculpture of a winged medical worker has been unveiled at a Sandwell Park in tribute to the NHS and social care angels on the coronavirus frontline. Black Country sculptor Luke Perry has created the 4-metre-tall angelic figure from steel and other materials at his factory in Cradley Heath. He has worked with Sandwell Council to have installed in Barewood's Lightwoods Park next to Hagley Road West. The temporary installation bears the inscription, "Thank you NHS and care workers."
A white van has been seized in the Black Country for having false number plates, police say. The occupants were also searched and breathalysed after reports of suspicious activity, Wensfield Police tweeted. The Renault van was seized, with officers deeming the vehicle unworthy for the road. Wensfield Police tweeted, "Responding to reports of suspicious activity, we have just seized this cloned van on false plates. Occupants subject to stop and search, and driver also breathalyzed. Van was in an unroadworthy condition, so glad to have this safely off the roads."
Households in Dudley and Telford are the greenest in the West Midlands, whilst those in Shrewsbury are the most polluting, according to new figures. The average household in Shrewsbury produced more than 4 times as much carbon dioxide per year than in Dudley, which topped the energy efficiency table in the West Midlands. The study by price comparison site Save on Energy looked at the total household CO2 emissions from 87 major towns and cities across the UK. Unsurprisingly, London and Birmingham produced the most CO2 emissions in the country. Birmingham was also the biggest polluter in the West Midlands, ahead of Coventry. Telford had the lowest overall CO2 level in the region, making it the 6th least polluting town in the UK. However, when the number of households are taken into account, Dudley narrowly emerged as the greenest town in the region, just ahead of Telford. Dudley, Telford and Wolverhampton all made it into the top 10 least polluting towns in the UK.
Police caught one driver speeding at 130 miles an hour and another travelling at just 34 on the M6. They said, "We are still enforcing the speed limits on motorways. Please stick to the speed limits. Even a minor collision ties up precious resources, including the ambulance, fire, police, highways agency, recovery agents, road workers and delays key workers. Stay at home, save lives. 130 miles an hour on the M6 at any time is mindless and dangerous. However, 34 miles an hour is also dangerous on the same 70 miles an hour stretch of motorway. Both drivers have been dealt with accordingly.
City of Wolverhampton councils Bilston, Wensfield and City Centre markets will reopen this week, but under strict guidelines. A phased approach will be introduced to ensure the safety of staff, traders and public. It includes a separate entrance and exit, a guided one-way system, a maximum capacity and extra security. In the first phase, residents will be able to purchase meat, poultry, fish, cheese, cooked meats, frozen foods, bakery products, fruit and vegetables, household goods, pet supplies and confectionery. The second phase will see traders of takeaway food, mobile phones, vapes and key cutting and shoe repairs return, with the third stage seeing the markets open fully. This will be subject to the level of compliance and feedback.
Former Wolves captain Carl Henry has been overwhelmed by the support the former Players Fund for the NHS has received as they near the £50,000 target. Henry, who made 272 appearances in 7 years at hometown club Wolves, set up the fund, also open to fans, for New Cross Hospital, where he received asthma treatment as a teenager. A host of former stars, including Matt Murray, Danny Barth and championship-winning boss Mick McCarthy, got on board, and through throwing everything but the kitchen sink at it, the goal has almost been reached. "I am chuffed we've managed to get this far and will now hopefully smash the target," said Henry.
More local news to follow, but now here's Mina with this week's quiz.
This week's quiz is once again about events that happened on this week in history. Here are a few questions on some of the items coming up in our flashback section later in this week's Black Country Talking News. Question 1. Who stole the crown jewels on 9th of May 1671? He got caught but was pardoned. Question 2. What delicious or horrible spread was invented on May the 10th in 1871? Question 3. On the 11th of May 1930, British aviator Amy Johnson took off from Croydon Airport in her Gypsy Moss plane and became the first woman to fly solo to Australia. What was the name of her aeroplane? Question 4. What year was our traditional Christmas icon, the Christmas card, first introduced? Question 5. Who made the famous Blood, Sweat and Tears speech on May the 13th, 1940? And finally, question 6. Where was the aviator Amy Johnson born?
Thanks, Mina. More local news now with Angela.
Finance chiefs have hailed Dudley as the head of the curb after 50,000 of financial support was given to businesses in Halsow Inn. The government has announced a £6 million national financial package for business improvement districts bids across the country to support them during the coronavirus pandemic. Dudley has already handed over 50,000 as a short-term loan to the Halsow Inn bid to help the town through the crisis. As part of the rules of the bid, the local authority collects the bid levy and hands it over to the businesses to fund activities and improvements in the town. It gives greater control to a town over the business activities and has helped Halsow Inn thrive in recent years. The council agreed the 50,000 support as the town battles against loss of business during lockdown.
A dentist has apologised after being reported to the police for using a drone to deliver medicine to a patient. Willows Dental and Implant Centre in Wombourne posted a video on Facebook showing a drone flying through the sky carrying a box. The post said the antibiotics was delivered on May the 1st within 7 minutes, with the drone flying at 27 miles per hour. But yesterday, the practice posted an image of a police car online with an apology after being reported for using the drone. The post says, "As a dental practice that's constantly pushing the boundaries in patient care, it seems in carrying out drone deliveries of essential medicines to clients in need in a time of need and lockdown, we upset some people on social media that take drone flying very seriously and reported us to the police. We can assure you that no one was hurt, our patient is out of pain, and it wasn't our intention to upset anyone. We genuinely thought we were helping people in lockdown and didn't think we'd be interfering with any planes in the sky. So for those of you that reported us to the police, consider our knuckles wrapped. We're sorry for thinking too far outside the box."
The borough's town halls may be closed due to the coronavirus pandemic, but critical blood donation sessions are still continuing at Stourbridge Town Hall. Sessions are due to take place on 20th of May, 24th of June, 8th of July, 6th of August, 6th of October and 3rd of December. They will run from 1 p.m. to 3:10 p.m. and again from 4:30 p.m. to 6:20 p.m. on those dates. Attendance is by appointment only, with no walk-in appointments available. Anyone wishing to become a donor can register for an appointment at www.blood.co.uk.
High Street giant House of Fraser is pressing ahead with plans to open one of its first concept stores in Wolverhampton's Mander Centre, despite the coronavirus. It was revealed last year that Fraser's would be open across multiple floors in the shopping centre, replacing Debenhams following that store's disastrous short stay in the city. But the coronavirus pandemic and the resulting lockdown plunged the already struggling High Street into further crisis. Mander Centre bosses have confirmed, however, that the plans by Mike Ashley's House of Fraser remain on course. The move, which would see House of Fraser leave its current Beatty's home in the city, have been due to happen in the summer before the pandemic, and it is not clear whether the current crisis will significantly put the launch back. The Fraser outlet will be among the first multi-brand stores featuring a mix of billionaire businessman Mr. Ashley's retail empire, from high-end flannels to discount Sports Direct. Struggling Fraser Group warned in March that the coronavirus pandemic was likely to significantly hit profits, even before the lockdown was imposed. Mr. Ashley stated in December that more House of Fraser stores would close in 2020.
Chicken lovers have been queuing around the block for KFC after some stores reopened in the Black Country. Queues of 2 miles have been reported this week as the fast food chain opened 100 stores back up nationwide for delivery and drive-through. KFC is operating a limited menu due to a reduced workforce. The restaurants which have opened in the Black Country are Penn Road Retail Park, Wolverhampton, Bentley Bridge, Wolverhampton, Great Bridge Retail Park, West Bromwich, Leemore Lane, Bloxwich, and Junction 9 services on the M6, Wensbury. Stores have also opened in Orbital Retail Park, Cannock, and Reekin Retail Park, Telford. Some branches are only open for delivery or drive-through, but all those listed above are open for both. Drive-through lanes have opened in a total of 55 stores so far.
Police in Dudley have thanked a primary school for their supportive messages to key workers. While on foot patrol in the Russell's Hall area, Dudley Town Police spotted a colourful display created by Russell's Hall Primary School. The display was made to thank key workers, including hand-drawn hearts and rainbows. There was also a red, white and blue themed tribute to say happy 100th birthday to inspiring fundraiser Captain Tom Moore.
The multi-million pound revamp of Wolverhampton Civic Halls has been met with further delays after work was suspended amid the coronavirus. Council chiefs made the call as the project entered a stage where it is no longer possible for workers to follow government guidelines. Bosses have said the move is likely to have an impact on completion date for the venue and the overall cost of the project, but they stressed the health and safety of workers of the contractors is Paramount. 38.1 million revamp is already four times over budget and has been delayed by 5 years. Originally set to open in November 2016, discussions will continue between Wolverhampton Council and Wilmot Dixon Interiors to process design works and to find ways to mitigate the impact. Works involve essential structural, engineering and electrical works, with visitors set to benefit from a second balcony in Civic Hall and a balcony in the Wolfram Hall. Height above the stage to the rear of the Civic Hall will be increased to attract bigger and better shows, and more comfortable seats, bigger and better bars, more space, expanded and revamped toilets, as well as a lift access to balconies, will be offered when it is completed.
Last week we looked at Black Country food, so let's join Steve now with this week's Black Country history.
Hi. Since we entered into lockdown, I've been taking up my allotted daily exercise, enjoying regular walks down the canal where I live in Albury. These usually quiet canals are awash with a steady stream of walkers and cyclists amongst the backdrop of a series of derelict factories, which now lie in disrepair. The canal serves as a vivid reminder of the industrial hub which the Black Country once was, and to a lesser extent still is. Today I'm going to talk about how and why these canals were constructed and the role they played in the Black Country becoming the workshop of the world, producing all manner of goods ranging from traps, locks and pots and pans to leatherware, anchors, chain and glassware. Prior to the development of a network of canals in the mid-18th century, goods were largely transported via horse and wagon along roads. Roads were often found to be in a poor state. In the summer, they were plagued by a series of hillocks, and in the winter, they descended into mud baths. Even where roads were maintained by toll keepers, they were often found to be in a less than adequate state, leading to uncertain and long journey times. As the Black Country's industry continued to expand during the late 18th century, there was an increasing desire and need for an easier, cheaper and more reliable way to transport raw materials and finished goods. Therefore, canal construction began to be widely promoted by groups of businessmen with common interests. Canal construction was a very expensive business and usually beyond the means of even wealthy groups of industrialists. Therefore, canal companies were formed and funds raised by selling shares in the business. Although the majority of the shares were held by men of wealth and influence, it was common for smaller local businesses and traders to give their backing to canal schemes by purchasing one or two shares. The building of the first Black Country canals began during the mid-1700s, directed by the father of the English canal system, James Brinley. The Staffordshire and Worcestershire Canal underwent construction in 1766, and was completed in 1772. To begin with, the canals were constructed by local labourers who began to be referred to as navvies. As time went on, gangs of navvies grew up. Many of these men came from economically depressed areas, such as Scotland and Ireland. They travelled from one scheme to another as work became available, and acquired a not undeserved reputation for hard drinking and often unruly behaviour. However, it should also be noted that experienced navvies had real skills to offer and played a vital role in the construction of canals. Eventually, there was a vast network of canals throughout the country and around 160 miles of canals here in the Black Country alone. These canals were the equivalent of the motorways today, allowing the cheap and easy transportation of raw materials. The development of canals led to a dramatic decrease in the cost of coal and other raw materials, which subsequently fueled the growth of new industries alongside canals, enabling the Black Country to fulfil its potential and develop into the workshop of the world, which it would become known. The use of canals to transport goods eventually declined once railways were developed from 1830 onwards. But they, of course, remain an important part of Black Country heritage and continue to be used today, albeit for different reasons.
Thanks, Steve. More local news now with Ian.
More than 200 redeployed workers from Dudley Council are joining community volunteers to help vulnerable people from across the borough by providing a range of support services, including a new food distribution hub. The team of redeployed staff are coordinating large-scale food distribution efforts in partnership with Dudley CVS and the Black Country Food Bank. They are taking charge of stock, coordinating deliveries, packing up parcels and delivering them to vulnerable residents. Staff are also making calls to assess people's needs and signposting to relevant services. Residents of all ages who are staying at home, as they are more vulnerable to the impact of COVID-19 or are self-isolating and have no family or community support or struggling financially, can contact 01384 573381 Monday to Friday from 9:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. to arrange for a food parcel to be delivered. From the 18th of May, this number will change to 0300 3302 152.
A recently refurbished Wolverhampton pub that was unable to unveil its new look to customers because of the coronavirus lockdown has temporarily reopened its doors as a food bank. The Ashmore Inn at Ashmore Park, Wensfield, has been busy collecting donations of food and essential supplies from local people, which are being sent out to residents on the estate who are finding it difficult to get to the shops during the current lockdown. Teams of volunteers have spent the last few weeks helping licensee Kevin Ward by bringing parcels of food and cleaning materials to the Griffiths Drive pub. The parcels are then being distributed to any vulnerable residents struggling to get adequate essentials.
Car parks at Samwell Beauty Spots will reopen under new measures. Parking spaces at parks around Samwell were closed amid the pandemic to enforce social distancing, but residents have complained that motorists are parking in their streets. As a result, the car parks at Samwell Valley Country Park and Dartmouth Park will reopen. Measures also relate to all Samwell Council-owned parks, including Lightwoods Park, Bearwood, Haydon Hill Park, Cradley Heath, Brunswick Park, Wensbury and Barnford Park, Albury.
The Premier League must shelve plans to restart football during the coronavirus pandemic or risk threatening public safety, a top West Midlands police official has said. West Midlands Police and Crime Commissioner David Jamieson said he cannot see how matches can take place without the health of fans and police officers being endangered. But Mr. Jamieson said such plans were fraught with risk, warning that it could lead to large groups of supporters gathering outside stadiums. This, he said, would leave officers with the impossible task of enforcing social distancing measures while also taking them away from other frontline duties. Premier League sides, including Wolves and Villa, are due to vote on the restart this month, with concerns escalating over the financial implications of a prolonged shutdown. Club doctors and some players have also raised concerns about the return of English professional football. The Premier League and EFL seasons have been on hold since March the 13th, with all games postponed until further notice. In the top flight, Wolves have 9 games left and are in the last 16 of the Europa League, while Villa, who are battling against relegation, have 10 matches to play. Albion sits second in the Championship table, 6 points clear of their nearest rivals for promotion with 9 games remaining. Blues, who are 8 points clear of the relegation zone, also have 9 games to play, while in League One, Shrewsbury are 9 points clear of the relegation zone with 10 games to play. Reports suggest the Premier League wants to restart on June the 8th, with games played behind closed doors at neutral venues.
The Black Country and Staffordshire has saluted Second World War heroes on the 75th anniversary of VE Day. The region paused for 2 minutes at 11 a.m. to remember all those who sacrificed their lives to defeat Nazi Germany and ensure our freedom. The major celebrations originally planned were cancelled due to the COVID-19 lockdown, but the momentous event was still celebrated across the region. Many households were adorned with Union Jacks and bunting to mark the occasion, and socially distanced street parties were held. Families living in the Warings in Wombourne all gathered together on their own front lawns to enjoy the celebration. Houses on the cul-de-sac were decorated in red, white and blue, with many of the decorations created by the children living in the street. Christopher Rowley from Bilston celebrated his 90th birthday on Friday. The street party was a 40s themed party with traditional music and games for children to play on the street, such as hopscotch, as well as entertainment for local children and an ice cream van. People from each house were able to sit at the front and celebrate together with barbecues and other food and drink while continuing to observe social distancing. Mother and daughter Helen and Keisha James from Wensbury, part of a 1940s musical trio called the Trixie Bells, lifted spirits on their street by singing in 1940s style. Helen said, "People were having picnics too and everyone has been dressing up. It was so lovely." Flags were flying from landmarks in the Black Country, such as from the top of Dudley Castle. And food parcels for vulnerable residents in Wolverhampton were given special VE Day 75 stickers from the council's food hub. Dozens of flags were also lining the food hub's distribution centre at Aldersley Stadium, Wolverhampton.
City of Wolverhampton Council is working on plans to safely reopen the city's tips in the coming weeks. Both household waste recycling centres, Inshaw Road and Anchor Lane, will be opened safely and in stages. Cabinet Lead for City Environment Councillor Steve Evans said, "At the height of the crisis, it was important we close these services. We have developed plans which put social distancing at the heart of our safety approach, ensuring we protect residents and employees. This will mean a very different experience for visitors."
A new online book club for children aged between 8 and 12 has been launched by the City of Wolverhampton Council's Library Service. Education Library Service Senior Librarian Jane Coleman will be providing online discussions and activities on the Library Service's Facebook and Twitter as part of the book club, and there will be a new title to read and discuss on a monthly basis. Though all 16 council-run libraries are currently closed, there are still plenty of ways in which people can access services virtually. All library members can get hold of the latest collection of best-selling e-books and e-audiobooks for free via the BorrowBox library on any Apple iOS and Google Android phone, tablet or computer. Titles can be borrowed for free for a period of 3 weeks, at which point they can be renewed or will be automatically deleted from people's devices, meaning customers won't be fined for forgetting to return books on time. Anyone missing their reading groups can join in book discussions online through the Library Service's Facebook and Twitter pages using the hashtag #StayingInReadingClub. Meanwhile, the ever popular story times for babies and children have moved online, with a new story posted every week on social media. Go to the Facebook playlist at or search hashtag online story time to view the latest video. It's free to join Wolverhampton's libraries and people can sign up online.
Our final local news roundup to follow, but now our regular Talking Book review with Talking Book Steve.
Hello everybody and welcome to this week's audiobook review with me, Stephen Terry. This week, I have decided to review a autobiography. The book's name and the author of the autobiography is no other than Mr. Elton John in his book, Me, by Elton John. In his first and only official autobiography, Music Icon, Elton John reveals the truth about his extraordinary life, which is also the subject of the smash hit film, Rocketman. The result is Me, the joyously funny, honest, moving story of the most enduringly successful singer-songwriter of all time. Read by actor and star of Rocketman, Taron Egerton, with an introduction and epilogue read by Elton John himself. Christened Reginald White, he was a shy boy with buddy holly glasses who grew up in the London suburb of Pinner and dreamed of becoming a pop star. By the age of 23, he was performing his first gig in America, facing an astonishing audience in his bright yellow dungarees, star-spangled t-shirt and boots with wings. Elton John had arrived and the music world would never be the same again. His life has been full of drama, from the early rejection of his work with songwriter partner Bernie Taupin, to spinning out of control as a chart-topping superstar. From half-heartedly trying to drown himself in an LA swimming pool to disco dancing with the Queen. Friendships with John Lennon, Freddie Mercury, George Michael, and setting up his AIDS Foundation. All the while, Elton was hiding a drug addiction that would grip him for over a decade. In Me, Elton also writes powerfully about getting clean, changing his life, and finding love with David Furnish, becoming a father. In a voice that is warm, humble and open, this is Elton on his music, his relationships, his passions and his mistakes. This is certainly a story that will stay with you by a living legend. Take a look, folks. Have a listen to the book. Watch the film, even. It's a fabulous read, one that I certainly enjoyed and I'm sure you will too. That's all for this week. Take care. See you soon.
Thanks, Steve. And now, our final local news roundup. Here's Christine.
The grounds of Bridgnorth Castle have reopened to the public. The park was closed in response to government guidance, and then its reopening was further delayed by maintenance work. But it will now be open from 7:30 a.m. to 8:30 p.m. from Monday to Friday, and 8:30 a.m. to 8:30 p.m. at the weekend.
Cavendish House has finally disappeared from Dudley's skyline, with council bosses vowing its demolition sparks the start of a bright new future for the town centre. Contractors have completed work to fully knock down the eyesore building, nearly a week ahead of schedule. It has been derelict the best part of two decades, but brighter times lie ahead. The demolition will pave the way for a multi-million pound mixed-use development in the town centre, which in turn will form of a near £1 billion regeneration programme across the borough. Work is also ongoing in the town centre around the Briley Hill to Wensbury Metro extension, which plans are in the pipeline for a new multi-million bus and tram interchange in Dudley town centre. The town will also become home to a test track for new and emerging transport technologies in the form of Very Light Rail, VLR.
Dudley Council bosses have announced plans to reopen the Household Waste Recycling Centre, the TIP, in Stourbridge next week to pre-booked residents. The Birmingham Street site will be open to those Dudley Borough residents who have booked a slot from Monday the 11th of May, following closure in March due to the coronavirus outbreak. People should only, however, book an appointment if their waste or recycling cannot be disposed of through the normal household and recycling collections, or if it cannot be stored at home safely without causing a risk of injury, health or harm to the resident or other members of their household, or to public health and amenity. People should call Dudley Council Plus on 0300 555 2345 to book their slot. Residents are asked to be patient as demand is expected to be very high initially.
Residents in Sandwell are being reminded that the borough's green bin collections may take longer than usual due to higher levels of garden waste. Crews are working hard to empty green bins on people's usual collection day or as soon as possible afterwards. Sandwell Council and its environmental services partner Serco are putting in plans for catch-up collections on Saturdays if necessary. Councillor Maria Crompton, Sandwell Council's deputy leader, said, "The crews are doing an amazing job and it's fantastic that our fortnightly garden waste collections have started again, while also keeping up weekly household waste and recycling collections. Inevitably, there is a lot of garden waste to collect given the circumstances, with more green bins being put out than usual, so there may be some delays for some households. If the garden waste bins in your road aren't collected on your scheduled day, please leave them out until they are emptied. Our crews will get to you as soon as they possibly can. For information, visit www.sandwell.gov.uk/garden waste.
An expansion of the major I-54 business park has moved into the next phase, with preparation for factory platforms and infrastructure work starting. It follows the early completion of works to create an access road at I-54 South Staffordshire on the county border with Wolverhampton. The western extension will live up to 100,000 square metres of ready-made development platforms for companies. It is anticipated new occupants could start arriving from 2022, providing new job opportunities for local residents. The current I-54 site has a workforce of around 2,700 people, with half of the jobs held by people living within a 10-mile radius. More than $1 billion has so far been invested in the original I-54 site, with more than 3,500 students have also benefited from a targeted skills and education programme.
Three men who drove 220 miles to the Welsh coast for a weekend camping trip have been caught by police. The three campers were stopped by police in Llandinam on their way home from the weekend break. The men from Tipton were said to have been on a social trip at the Ynys Las Nature Reserve, one of Mid Wales' most idyllic spots, which is currently out of bounds to tourists due to coronavirus restrictions. The Ceredigion Roads Policing Unit, which stopped the men, said they had been reported for breaches of non-essential travel and social distancing. It comes as there have been repeated calls for people not to visit Mid Wales during the pandemic for fears of spreading the COVID-19 infection and potentially overwhelming the local health services. Four men were also caught on Saturday by Newtown police after travelling from Merseyside to Mid Wales to go off-roading. The men were caught for the second time this month, having been part of a group of 19 given fines previously. Meanwhile, last week, a couple were taken to court after being caught in Snowdonia, having driven nearly 300 miles from their home in Kent.
Now, this week in our sight loss section, something a little different. We've had two poems sent in from listeners who are living with sight loss, and they're going to be read by Steve.
A poem by Hannah Fairclough entitled About Me. I never thought that I would be affected by sight loss at such a young age. I never thought that friends would ignore you because of sight loss until they did. I always thought that depression was a word associated with sad people, not happy-go-lucky 18-year-olds, till I went through it. I thought that using a white cane would make me look stupid, so I did not use it out of stubbornness. However, I got over the stigma, learnt to use it, but as my sight started to decline, cane travel was becoming a danger. Lots of bumps and near misses. I knew the thing I needed was a guide dog. I applied for one a year later and got one. He was a beautiful black lab. Even though he was willful, he always guided me from A to B with a wacky tail. Sadly, 3 years down the line, the partnership came to an end. He was retired. I knew he was going on to greater things by becoming a buddy for children in need. After time went by, a new dog came. We trained together, we qualified, we retrained. And then the decision was made to withdraw him. Again, I was stuck. I waited again for a new dog to come into my life. And that day came. I fell in love. Even though the light was fading and being plunged into darkness, I knew that my faithful, loyal and clever guide dog was by my side. I've done many things that just wouldn't have been possible without my lovely guide dog by my side. A poem about me and my eyes by Jordan Phillips. Even though my eyes aren't great, I wouldn't change a thing to this date. I'll never let my eyes define me, even if sometimes I find myself declining. I need to get back up and show I'm strong and prove to people I've had what it takes all along. I know to a lot of people that would be a huge surprise, but to me there are many lows but as many highs. The opportunities I've had to meet new friends as I explore all the new twists and bends. Meeting Sharon from Beacon, who will always support me, who sees the good in me, even when I don't agree. Without these people, I know I wouldn't get this far, like having no wheels on a car. Even though I still have my struggles, I get back up and fight my troubles. Living sight impaired is something I'll get used to, but not something that will control me. There are many new things I want to pursue, and I'm excited what the future will be.
Now, if you would like to contribute to the Talking News with your own poem, or a sight loss tip you'd like to pass on to others, or just someone you'd like to say happy birthday to, or just say hello to, well, please get in touch at BCTN, that's the Black Country Talking News, BCTN at beaconvision.org. So BCTN at beaconvision.org, or give us a call at Beacon on 01902 880 111. That's 01902 880 111. Now, you'll find the answers to our quiz next, and with this week's flashback section, it's Roger.
This is our flashback section where we look at events that happened this week in history and where you'll find the answers to the quiz questions that we set earlier. Now, on the 9th of May in 1671, the crown jewels were briefly stolen from the Tower of London by Irish adventurer Colonel Thomas Blood. He was caught and the jewels returned to the Tower. But Blood was jailed, but for unknown reasons was pardoned by the king. May the 10th, 1871, and love it or hate it, but Marmite was invented by a German in Victorian times. It is reputed to have been used as horseshoe polish. A stable boy spread it on his toast, thought it was delicious, and the rest is history. If you believe that sort of thing, of course. The factory was in Vauxhall in London, and the residents got rate reduction because the smell was unbearable. On the 11th of May in 1930, British aviator Amy Johnson took off from Croydon Airport in her Gypsy Moth plane, Jason. She became the first woman to fly solo to Australia and arrived on the 24th of May. She was born on the 1st of July in 1903 in St George's Road in Hull, which now has a commemorative blue plaque. May the 12th, 1843, John Callcott Horsley of England designs the first commercially produced Christmas cards. The centre panel featured a family feasting with the words Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to you. The side panels depict the poor being given food and clothing. The design stirred controversy as it depicted young children drinking wine. 1,000 were printed and sold in London for a shilling apiece, followed by a second printing of another 1,050, and the commercialisation of Christmas had begun. Then in 1940, on May the 13th, the then Prime Minister Winston Churchill declared to the House of Commons, "I have nothing to offer but blood and toil and tears and sweat," in his historic speech to rally the nation, which he said was in their darkest hour.
Thanks, Roger. Now, keeping with the looking back in history theme, do you remember when Wolves last won the FA Cup? Now, in this month, well, I say this month, it was May the 7th in 1960. It marks 60 years since Stan Cullis's Wolves side lifted the FA Cup courtesy of a 3-0 victory over Blackburn at Wembley. Now, this was the fourth and last time Wolves won the FA Cup, of the years being 1893, 1908 and 1949. Having claimed the First Division crown the previous three seasons, only to be pipped to the post by Burnley during this campaign, Cullis's Wolves went to the final as favourites, as Blackburn had finished 17th in the top flight. Wolves entered the final having beaten local rivals Aston Villa at the home of more rivals West Bromwich Albion at the Hawthorns. Wolves won 1-0 in the semi-final. And after taking the lead in a hot, humid 98,954 strong Wembley, they made the most of some very unfortunate circumstances for Blackburn to run out comfortable winners. The Lancashire outfit had a narrow escape when Peter Broadbent headed over the bar for Wolves after keeper Harry Leyland had misjudged a cross from the right. Then Cullis had his shot stopper Malcolm Finlayson to thank for keeping out Peter Dobing from close range after he jinked his way through the gold and black back line. Blackburn came to rue that miss as they endured a disastrous few moments before the interval. Wolves took the lead when Rovers defender Mick McGrath put the ball into his own net in the 41st minute. It quickly went from bad to worse for the Lancashire side 90 seconds later or so, when Dave Whelan broke his leg. Left in a heap after colliding with Norman Dealey, Whelan was stretchered off, putting Blackburn, without the luxury of substitutes back then, down to 10 men. Dealey was still feeling the effects of a clash at the start of the second period, but he would go on to take centre stage. Jimmy Murray thought he had doubled Wolves' advantage, only to be flagged offside before Dealey actually did. Des Horn flashed the ball across the face of goal and Dealey was there at the far post to finish, first time into the bottom corner. Ron Flowers also had a strike chalked off for offside before the disadvantaged and tiring Rovers presented Dealey the chance to score from 6 yards. He made no mistake either, smashing it into the roof of the net to round off the triumph, before skipper Bill Slater led Wolves up to the Royal Box to lift the trophy. A fantastic day when and while Nuno Espirito's current stars have captured the imaginations of supporters all over these past few years, the gold and black faithful are still longing for silverware to be won in such style. If you missed them, let's go through all the answers now to the quiz with Mina.
Question 1. Who stole the crown jewels on 9th of May 1671? He got caught but was pardoned. And the answer is Conall Thomas Blood. Question 2. What delicious or horrible spread was invented on May the 10th in 1871? The answer is Marmite. You love it or you hate it. Question 3. On the 11th of May 1930, British aviator Amy Johnson took off from Croydon Airport in her Gypsy Moth plane and became the first woman to fly solo to Australia. What was the name of her aeroplane? The answer is Jason. Question 4. What year was our traditional Christmas icon, the Christmas card, first introduced? The answer is 1843, and we've been buying them ever since. Question 5. Who made the famous Blood, Sweat and Tears speech on May the 13th, 1940? The answer is Winston Churchill. And finally, question 6. Where was the aviator Amy Johnson born? The answer is Hull.
How did you do? Did you get the Marmite question right? Anyway, what's the weather going to be like for the weekend and next week? Well, here's Mina again.
The sunrise and sunset times for this week ahead are sunrise 5:10 a.m, sunset 21:01 p.m. That's 10 minutes earlier in the morning and 10 minutes later in the evening from last week. It looks like we're having some fine weather. It's getting warmer and the weekend and into next week. Now on Friday 15th of May, it looks like we have sunny intervals and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 16 degrees. Moving on to Saturday 16th of May, we have light cloud and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 17 degrees. Sunday 17th of May, it gets a little warmer with sunny intervals and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 20 degrees. Now moving on to Monday 18th of May, we have more sunny intervals and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 20 degrees. Tuesday 19th of May, we have more sunny intervals and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of up to 21 degrees. Now more sun on 20th of May and gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 21 degrees. And finally, Thursday 21st of May, sunny intervals and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 21 degrees. Enjoy the weather.
Thanks, Mina. And thank you for listening to this week's Black Country Talking News. Have a good week and we'll be back next. And to finish, here's an update from Beacon with Helen.
Once again, it has been another busy week at Beacon. Our team has been hard at work trying to support people like you. Our fundraising department is as busy as ever, and this week you can help Beacon secure a £1,000 donation. The 2020 Movement for Good Awards is giving 500 charities a donation of £1,000 each. But we need your support to help Beacon be in with a shot of securing funding. All you need to do is head to this website, www.movementforgood.com, and nominate Beacon using our charity number 216092. The more nominations we get, the more chance we have of winning, so your nomination really counts. £1,000 can make a real difference to Beacon when we are working to support those most vulnerable in our communities during the coronavirus pandemic. Your nomination could be the one that helps us win these vital funds so we can carry on helping those who need us most during this time of crisis. The more nominations we get, the greater our chance of winning, so please spread the word. If you would like to support Beacon, you can find out how else you can help us on our website, www.beaconvision.org/urgent. One of the easiest ways to show your support, if you're able to, is to donate £5 by texting Beacon Crisis, that's all one word, to 70085. Texts cost £5 plus one standard rate message. This week, it's also National Conversation Week. And at Beacon, we think getting the chance to talk to someone at the moment is more important than ever. However, social distancing and self-isolation means that for many of us, having a chat is not as easy as it was. If you want to keep in touch with your loved ones digitally, but don't know how to start, our IT trainer, Kerry, has pulled together some top tips for people with sight loss to improve their skills. If you'd like to have a look at it, please let us know and we'll do our best to get it over to you in an appropriate format. As ever, we hope you are keeping well and staying safe. If you feel you need support, you can, of course, call us on 01902 880 111. We'd also love to hear your tips and general thoughts about life living with sight loss. Please get in touch. Thank you.
So that's it for another edition of Black Country Talking News. If you would like to contact us, you can do so by calling us on 01902 880111, emailing us at bctn@beaconvision.org, or send a letter to Black Country Talking News, Beacon Centre, Wolverhampton Road East, Wolverhampton, WV46AZ. Thank you for listening, and thank you to all our supporters, donators and volunteers, who without their support, we'd be unable to run this free service. So it's goodbye from all of us, and please note that the information and views expressed in this recording does not necessarily represent the views of Beacon or Talking News, and were accurate at the time of recording. Mentions of goods or services does not imply endorsement, and whilst every care is taken to supply accurate information, Beacon and Talking News do not undertake liability for any errors. Thank you.